Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are joined now, lucky enough to be joined now, by Phillies President of Baseball Operations, Dave Dombrowski. Dave, thank you for the time today.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I want to ask you a question, I think just a bigger picture question about your job before we dig into the Phils specifically.
Okay.
So you have so much say and so much control over decisions the team makes, who to acquire, who not to have on the team. But then once the games start, there's very little control about what the outcome's going to be. How do you resolve that, I guess, emotionally? Is that difficult for you to have so much say and then you just sort of have to count on everybody else to do what they're supposed to do to be successful?
Well, I don't think it's that difficult in the respect that how you described it is exactly how it is. But I've done it for so long that you realize that's just how it is. So now I will tell you a story. A few years ago, Tony La Russa, who managed all those years and was a special assistant to me in Boston, and he sat upstairs with me, and it was the first time he ever did that. And he experienced just what you were talking about, and he said, how can you do this? How have you been able to handle this all these years that once you're up here, you can't do anything about what takes place? So I think it's a learned skill. It's one of those things that you just have to understand that's the responsibility of the job. And you just accept it and just deal with it at that point.
So there's a lot of excitement. It's been a great year. Phils, of course, clinched a bye last night. How do you think about the optimal way to handle a remaining games on the schedule when, and at this point, you're still alive for the one seed, so there's that. But when maybe there's nothing to play for from a playoff seeding standpoint, but there are games there, like balancing rest and not risking injury, but also staying locked in and not losing the momentum they've built over the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great balance, and it's something we talk about ourselves a great deal because it's very important. I think one of the things that comes into play very heavily is it's unless you have an injury for somebody, it's important for them to continue to play to the end for the simple fact we're going to have 5 more days off. Now, we'll play an inter-squad game at some point next week and we'll work out. But having the ability to continue to play and see live pitching and run the bases and play at the game speed for us is extremely important at this time. Now, if you have somebody who's hurting, at that point you say, okay, let's just sit back, let that person sit and rest. But all in all, you need to make sure that they're still at the top of their game, and you can play them as hard as you possibly can to make sure that they're ready for next week. And then the other part of it is with your pitching is a little bit different because, and we haven't even settled on what we're going to do. But let's say Christopher Sanchez, who pitched Tuesday, threw great. Now he's in a position where he would have pitched Sunday, and then he pitches the next Saturday. Well, if that game on Sunday was extremely important for us, I think he'd go out there and he'd pitch as long as he could. But in this case, now it'll be more, okay, how can we get Christopher throwing, staying sharp, but also give him enough rest to be prepared for the Saturday game the next week. So what you basically do is talk about every single player on an individual basis and make sure where they stand, how they're feeling, what they need from a preparation perspective. They need an extra day off. Let's do it. But really everything ends up being focused on getting ready for that Saturday the 4th and doing it on an individual basis.
Dave, four straight years in the postseason. Congratulations on that, first and foremost.
Thank you.
Can't take that for granted. But you're going into the playoffs seemingly in under four different scenarios. If you can sort of picture where I'm coming from, the first year, you know, you fought all the way up to the last day to get in to the postseason. You're able to ride that momentum. The second year, I believe that was a wild card year, second year, right? The wild card year was a second year, and you're able to go deep. Last year, you win your division, and you don't have the first round this year. But we weren't playing great baseball. That's the point. We weren't playing great baseball at the end of the season last year going into the playoffs, even with that bye week. This year, much better baseball being played. Everything seemingly in the right place. I'm just wondering your feeling about going into the postseason this year compared to the other years, as far as you feel like you're in a good position to make that deep run?
Well, I do. And the reality is, you said, every situation somewhat different. And even throughout my career, you look at it. I think if you look at our club this year, you never know if you're going to win. You still have to go out there and you have to perform no matter who you play in the postseason. You dial it up and you got that extra intensity. But what really ends up happening at that point is that you have to play well at that particular time. But when I look at our club right now, I think we match up with anybody in baseball. I don't think there's anybody that will look and say that club is so much better than ours. And I have been in that position the postseason before. So, we're a little bit of an underdog here. Again, you still can beat anybody when it comes to a short series. But I think we have as good a chance as anybody to win. Now we just have to go out there and play well at the right time.
Is this the best team you've had since you've been with the Phillies?
Oh, that's a tough question. It's as good as any of them, for sure. And it's also as good as any of them, as you said, on how we're playing right now. We've been playing better baseball for really since the second half of the season and after the trading deadline. So I do think that we've played well for a consistent basis now for a couple months. You have your bad game here and bad game there. But basically, we've played well. And we've got good talent. And it looks like we were just working Trey Turner out earlier today. It's the third day in a row. He'll be ready to go for the postseason. I'm not sure if he'll play a game or two beforehand. That's still to be determined. He was doing some additional things out on the field now. But he will play in the postseason. So we're in a position where we're about as healthy as we can, except for Zach Wheeler's case, and we've known about that for a long time. So our other pitchers have stepped up, and they'll need to continue to do so.
You mentioned Zach Wheeler. Quite obviously, any team would rather have Zach Wheeler going into the postseason than not having Zach Wheeler. But do you think that there can be an emotional lift when a team loses a player of that stature, when it's sort of known that everyone else needs to contribute a little bit more, and then maybe it can be something that brings players together and brings the best out of a team when something like that happens?
Yeah, it's a great question, too. I think, like you said to start off, everybody wants to have Zach Wheeler. I mean, you're not going to ever be in a position where anybody steps into his shoes. But I think other people know that they have to step up and maybe do a little bit more for you. I've been in spots with clubs where we've lost key personnel. I remember I was back with the Florida Marlins in 97, and we lost Alex Fernandez in the second round. He was one of the top pitchers in baseball. Blew out his rotator cuff at that time period, and we ended up winning the World Series even though he didn't pitch. And we went into the postseason with the World Series with Kevin Brown versus Chad Oje of the Cleveland Indians, and Kevin Brown was about the best pitcher in baseball at that time, and O.J. was a solid guy, but more of a fourth, fifth starter. And O.J. beat Brown two games in that World Series, and yet we still won. So it really comes down to every game you just have to battle and scratch and do everything you can to win the game. And I do think that players can step up and get it done and do even a little bit more than they're accustomed to doing.
Phillies president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, with us. You have a few key free agents on the team. I don't know if you've heard, but Kyle Schwarber is one.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Ranger Suarez, JT Realmuto. Does how the team performs in the playoffs and the success that you have or maybe lack thereof, does that inform how you think about re-signing players on the team this year for future years?
Not normally, no. I don't think so, because unless they get hurt, that would affect it. But, I mean, they've all been good players throughout the, not only this year, but for many years. And so I don't think it makes a big difference. You're going to see the guys the same way. I mean, it might give you a little bit more, great feeling at particular times when you're sitting down and talking if somebody just put up huge numbers in the postseason. But the reality is they're good players, and they're going to be good players no matter how they perform in the postseason. Now, I hope they put up some big numbers for us, because sure would make it a lot easier for us to win.
Every time Kyle Schwarber hits a home run, do you hear a little cash register thing go off in the background?
Well, yeah, I did tell his agent too. I've known Casey Close. We had a conversation on actually Walker Buehler, because he represents him. It was about a month ago now at this point. And I said, okay, I give, okay, you got it. That's it, that's enough,
Point proven.
You got it. Yeah, you got it. That's it. So, but we'll see what happens. And as you know, we'd love to have Kyle here. We'll see what happens. So we'd love to be part of the organization for years to come.
Just want to get your thoughts on Harrison Bader. Great acquisition at the trade deadline. I think he is. He's certainly become a fan favorite very quickly, and has exceeded what a lot of us thought he would bring to the table. Just your thoughts on when you made the move to get him, and is this what you envision? And not to piggyback off what Spike just asked you, but a lot of people want to know, is the likelihood of us having Harrison Bader here past this year? Because, like I said, he's become a fan favorite.
Well, we like him a lot. He's been tremendous for us, and he's been from the perspective, we've been short right-hand hitting outfielder, especially in center field. Rojas has been good for us defensively, but not offensively. So it really helped us a lot to get a guy like Bader for us, because he's a well-rounded player. He can play well defensively like a Rojas, but he also has contributed and will contribute offensively. And the way he started off, I could not tell you that we would expect him to be that hot. He was on base every single time he hit, basically. But we like him a lot. He not only is a good player, he's a great player for us with our club in the clubhouse in this community. He thrives in big situations. He doesn't back down from anything. So for us, he really fits well. He's been in the postseason before, so he is a guy that we'd like to keep in the organization and has done a fantastic job for us.
One thing that we've kind of observed this year is maybe Rob Thompson adjusting as a manager. What are your overall thoughts on the job that Rob has done this year?
Well, he's done a quality job for us. And I think, as you said, I think, it's hard for a manager. The toughest guys to generally manage in any sport are stars. And then we have a lot of stars on this team, so it's not an easy job to do. And then to be in a position where you perhaps mix and match some guys, take them out of different roles, is not easy, but sometimes you just need to do those things to be a better club. And he has done that and has done a great job for us. So I hope he continues to pull all the right strings in that regard, because the combo that he's been putting out there for us has worked very well.
Clearly, you valued Christopher Sanchez because you all extended him, and you valued Jesus Luzardo because you traded for him. Have they individually exceeded your expectations of what you thought they could be?
Well, they're two of the best pitchers in baseball right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really – so I don't think you ever – I don't ever acquire, unless there's a Hall of Fame pitcher in the middle of his career, which you rarely get those type of guys, that you would ever say that you expect him to win quite as many games or do pitch quite as well as they have. We did think they were very good pitchers and that they would contribute and help us win and be top of the line type guys. But Christopher's, I mean, he's really kind of developed to be a number one starter. I mean, he was a number two for us because of Zach Wheeler, but he ends up being a number one. And Lizardo is, when we got him, we figured we have Wheeler, we've got Nola, we've got Sanchez, and we've got Suarez. So he's not a five, but he's only the fifth starter for us, and he's far exceeded that. And we thought he really had the abilities of a third starter, and he's even exceeded that. So they've both been phenomenal for us and have done a great job.
When you hear the comments that Nick Castellanos made after the game on Friday about communication with Rob Thompson, what is your reaction when you hear a player on your team say something like that?
Well, you know, it's one. I usually keep these things in the clubhouse. My thing have always been, I've been with clubs for years and years, and you have all type of issues that take place all the time. And it's sometimes players feel one way and somebody else feels another. It's one of those where they express it, they feel it. I've really always kind of kept that. Yeah, you know, I wish you'd kind of keep that to ourselves. But if you feel that way, and you then go talk to the manager and just go ahead and discuss it. But I think Rob Thompson does a good job at communicating. He's been a good manager in that regard. Sometimes, you know, in a case like Nick's, and he's not the only guy, that when you don't hear what you want to hear necessarily, which is to play every day, and I always respect the ability of a player, the desire to play every day. It's what you want him to do. It's tough to express that to him that something else is going to be different. So, again, I do wish it was just stayed in the clubhouse, but when it's out, you just have to deal with it.
So when you trade for Juwan Duran, it was a sensation, right? They had the whole Durantula intro, takes over the city. City's on fire. Still been really good, but kind of scuffling a bit of late. Some home run balls. What are you kind of seeing from Juwan Duran right now?
Well, he's really good. You know, I mean, he's got closer stuff. He threw, he hung the one breaking ball, which he threw in L.A. to Pajes. And then the other day, he threw a fastball right down the middle of the plate, but it was at 101, and the guy put a good swing on it. So I'm just comfortable that he's coming out there. And as Rob Thompson says, it's hard to believe this when you think of it, but Mariano Rivera blew over 90 saves in his career. So even the best of the best has a bad day, and where they get you at the end, and they give scholarships too, but I'm just absolutely thrilled that he's with us. And he's top flight. When he comes in, I feel as good with him coming in to pitch the ninth inning with the one-run lead as I would with anybody in baseball.
He's starting tonight, Walker Buehler. What role do you see him having in the postseason?
Well, we're still analyzing that one. He's pitched well for us a couple times out, and we'll continue to watch how he pitches tonight. I doubt that he would be one of our three starters. He would not be that in the first round. So it'd be a matter of him pitching out of our bullpen and how you would use him in that regard. So those are the type of discussions that we'll have next week. But if he continues to pitch well and pitch the way he has, there's no question that he can contribute for us in the postseason.
In Philly, we are psychopaths. As fans, we're psychos, and on WIP, we're psychos. I mean, so much so that, you know, you have a trade deadline. 1 minute after it, I'm yelling on the radio about whether you did a good job or not, and I'm me. So does it, there's no way you can be immune to hearing those things and feeling it in a city like that. How is that for you to hear and feel I know that when it's good, it's great around here, but when it's tough, it can be really tough. What is it like doing your job in a climate like Philadelphia?
Well, I've been in some tough climates.
Yes.
I mean, Philly, and I've been in Boston like that. So, you know, really surprisingly, it doesn't affect me as much as you would think, because I don't listen to talk radio shows. No offense, but I don't listen to that. I'm not in a position where I'm looking at tweets and all that on the internet. So you have to do the job that you think is the right job to do. And hey, sometimes it comes with criticisms. That's just the way it is. But you better have thick skin if you're in my job and a manager's job. And I think that's something you develop throughout the years. And you just do the things that you think is right. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. You put just as much effort into things when they don't work. And I was doing an interview with somebody today, and I told them, so, well, why didn't you get a Duran last year? And I said, well, I think you have to remember that these type players aren't always available.
Right.
You can only acquire who's out there at a particular time. And so last year we acquired Estevez. He leads the league in saves this year in the American League. So he wasn't a bad pitcher. He's not Duran per se. But you go out there and you just do the best job you possibly can. And really, I think you have to be more self-satisfied in this type of job and not really pay attention to the noise outside of it. Because if you are, I think it would probably drive you crazy.
Last one here, Dave. Do you have one that got away? Do you have a trade deadline or an off-season move that you thought you were so close on and you look back on and you think to yourself, man, if I had just pulled that one off?
Sure, there's a couple of them. I mean, it's not that long ago I was with the Detroit Tigers, and it would have been 2014. I thought we were going to get Andrew Miller from the Boston Red Sox at that time, and we really could have used him because he was a good middle guy. He could close games, but he could pitch 2-3 innings, and I thought we had him, and it would have made a difference for us. But the Orioles ended up giving up Eduardo Rodriguez. They gave up a little bit more than we did at the time, and he came back and haunted us in the postseason. So that was one that I wish that we would have been able to get done, and I thought we were going to get it done. And then I can go back years and years ago where, you know, you talked about guys. I was talking with the Cubs, and they ended up trading Rafael Palmeiro to Texas at that time. The other guy they were talking about was Sean Dunstan, and I was there in Montreal, and I thought we were going to get Dunstan. And those are a couple of things that a couple of deals that come to my mind real quickly that I wish I could have gotten those deals done, and they would have made our clubs better.
Well, Dave, I know you don't need the affirmation from us, but it's been not only has it been a great season, you have done a great job. The deadline was awesome. The offseason bringing Lizardo in here was awesome. And we are we're feeling it with this team. So we're really looking forward to the playoffs. And we really thank you for taking the time today to join us.
Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. And let's go get them. Let's win 11 postseason games.
Let's do it. Just got to win the last one. Thank you. There he is, Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball operations from the Phillies. That was a good one. He knows he's in for it with Schwarber, man.
He's screaming uncle.
Hey, we get it. He's begging. Stop. I get it. I understand. So there he is, president of baseball operations.
You have to give up that fourth year.
Yeah, look, I mean, and by the way, and I didn't ask him this, I'm sure if you were to ask Dave Dombrowski, you would rather have an owner like John Middleton who cares and is involved and will spend all those things. But he is also a fan, John Middleton, and he also hears, Dave might not listen to talk radio. I'll tell you who does, is John Middleton. So there is no doubt that the agents know, well, Middleton ain't going to let this guy walk away.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
and that's what matters most. Yep. Yes, the owner.
Well,
yes.
We always say who has final say. You know who has final say? The guy who owns the team.
Signs the checks.
Yep,
yes, sir.
He has final say. So if you missed it, you can go back on the Free Odyssey app and go back to the beginning of that interview or just sign.
I always feel like I'm talking to or listening to a guidance counselor.
Oh, when you hear Dombrowski?
Dave Dombrowski is doing the interview.
Well, he's a good talk. Also, has a good phone line.
Sound like a landline. Kind of screams like a landline
guy. That
was guy?
Definitely a landline.
Landline?
Yes,
oh.
That was a landline.
What a win.
He was right in the office.
What a win. Yes. That's my GM right there. That's my GM.
That was definitely a landline.
My GM calls up with a landline. All right. Joining us next is the great Shield Kapadia of The Ringer. Shield. Get back to the Eagles as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us now of the Ringer, one Sheil Kapadia. Sheil, welcome.
What's up, my friends? How we doing?
Sheil,
what up, Sheil?
I know we talked to you about the Eagles, but I just got the worst Sixers news. I know you're a Sixers guy too. Did you see this?
Oh no, what happened? Actually, I just saw a text on my phone that I did not read yet, and it's a Derek Bodner tweet. So what is the news?
Jared McCain has a torn UCL in his thumb, and they are meeting with specialists to determine the best path forward. So it looks like so Jared McCain, who, by the way, was the guy I was most excited to watch this year. I've become a convert. You think you'd be a top 15 player. What, Sheil, should I just stop with the Sixers thing? Should we all just stop with the Sixers thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the official start of the season. I think until you get this news, the season had not officially started, and now the Sixers season has officially started. That's how this era has gone.
Yeah, until you're meeting with specialists, the Sixers season hasn't started. Yeah. So Sheil, you know, the ugliest first half of all time, the coolest second half, at least in a while, for the Eagles on Sunday. Just biggest difference between the first half and the second half in terms of results, how they got there to you.
Yeah, the first half was more so, it was almost less about approach and more of just like sloppy football everywhere. I mean, they had guys running routes in the same space where they should not have been doing that. They were taking losses up front, one-on-one. The blitz pickup was bad. Jalen Hurts was like anything you could think of what does horrible offensive football look like? They kind of checked that box in the first half. And then the second half was totally different. Now, the one big thing probably schematically is that they said, let's get A.J. Brown isolated on one side of the field, our other three receivers on the other side of the field. That will create some one-on-ones, and let's just throw him the football, even if it's not totally wide open. And guess what? That looked like a pretty good plan to me. So let's continue with that plan here this weekend and going forward.
Well, so let me ask you this. Is the issue with them passing more, is that the coaching staff doesn't want to pass, or is it that Jalen Hurts doesn't pass when it's there? Because we've talked about a lot last year, and now we're talking about again this year. So what is the issue? Is it a schematic issue, or is it a pull the trigger issue?
Yeah, I think this year it's been more a coaching and approach. When you hear Nick Sirianni talk, when you hear Kevin Petullo talk, especially that, I mean, it's all a small sample, but they felt like in that Chiefs game, we cannot turn the football over. That's our best path to victory. And they did win the game. So there is obviously some reason to play that way. This year, I don't think Jalen Hurts turning down throws has been a major issue. I'm not telling you it never happens. I feel like last year there were certainly stretches where you would watch games and go, man, there were plays on the field and you can't put it all on the coaches. He was just playing in a conservative style. But I would say this year so far, it's been more about the approach, running the football a lot. I mean, they have 2nd and 10, 2nd and 17, where you don't see a lot of teams run the football on those downs, and they're still running the football on those downs. I would say it's been more of an approach, a coaching issue.
Yeah, why is that, though? Why, like, it's 2nd and 17. Now, listen, I understand 3rd and 17, backed up on your own 10-yard line. You don't want to make a risky play there. You just want to sort of get out of there with a punt and play sort of field position. But 2nd and 17 is a down where you try to get something there and see what you're going to do on 3rd down. To just give up on 2nd down means you're already determined that you're giving up on 3rd down.
You're preaching to the choir, Ike. I mean, that honestly, that was the thing that made me more annoyed than anything else.
Yeah.
2nd and 17 with a $50 million quarterback, with 2 wide receivers healthy, with a good offensive line, and you're not even going to try. Now, they can say, hey, we thought we were going to spring a run or something. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't see a lot of teams who believe in their passing game doing that on 2nd and 17. So, yeah, there's little stuff like that. Now, listen, it's his 3rd game as a play caller. I don't want to, you know, completely crush him.
I agree.
Let's see what it looks like. But, that is very annoying to watch. And I would imagine if you're A.J. Brown, if you're Devontae Smith, you're going, you got to be kidding me with this call in this spot.
I'm glad you brought those two up, because that's where I'm going next, Shiel. I'm wondering what the meetings have been like this week, these, you know, conversations amongst the skill guys and KP along with Jalen and Nick Sirianni, because I don't believe the skill guys want to put the genie back in the bottle after what they saw in the 2nd half. They're looking at it like, see, I told you we could do this if, you know, we just get the chance to do it. So do you think they will have some influence on what the coaches do? Now, before you answer that, when they wanted to go to the running game last year, they had influence with the O-line. They did it and they changed. So I'm wondering, from a reverse standpoint, if you get A.J. and Devontae and even Jalen pushing to be a little bit more pass-oriented, not crazy, but just a little bit more, I wonder if the Eagles coaches would be open to that idea.
Yeah, that's a good point. I had forgotten about that last year. You're right. The whole story was the offensive linemen go in Nick Sirianni's office and they say, we got Saquon, let's run the football. And they kind of changed the way they played and they leaned on the run game more. Listen, A.J. Brown, I think, is the best football analyst in the city. I mean, the way he's been describing the offense and the issues, I'm like, this guy's spot on. He is not sugarcoating it. He's trying to tiptoe a little bit so that he doesn't make headlines, but everything he says makes sense to me. You know, when you have players like that, let them do their thing. You don't have to be as conservative. You don't have to always think that, hey, if we pass the ball, we're going to turn the football over 3 times this game. Like, Jalen Hurts has been a good decision maker throughout the course of his career. He's had little stretches here and there, but like a go ball to A.J. Brown downfield, that's not likely to end up in a turnover, in an interception. So, it's the biggest thing I'm watching this weekend is that, hey, what we saw in the 2nd half of last week, was that the start of something? Are we going to be talking in week 16 and 17 saying, hey, the 2nd half of the Rams game, man, that felt like a turning point for this offense and they just went on a roll after that? Or are we going to be watching that game going, oh my gosh, I can't believe it looks like this again after what we saw in the 2nd half of last week? So yeah, there's a lot of intrigue. I don't have a great answer for you, but I would think A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, the coaches watching that 2nd half last week, you would have to think just human, naturally, you would say, okay, we can open it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
One more question on the offense before we go over to the defense is, when the Eagles have not run the ball particularly well this year, what are you seeing on tape from the offensive line and their performance? Because when we talk to Jordan Mailata every week, he doesn't seem happy with their performance. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I actually don't think it's, you know, Mailata. I think it's more I know he was just saying that, but it feels like the interior isn't as stout as it was last year. And I know, you know, Landon Dickerson came back from an injury. Cam Jurgens had an offseason injury. Tyler Steen's starting for the first time. And you just don't see them kind of dominating the way they did last year or in previous years. And the other thing you don't see is the Eagles running the types of runs and kind of a bunch of different runs like they've run in previous years. And so I wonder if that's more of a Tyler Steen thing where they say, hey, this is first time starting. There are some things he maybe can't do as well as players we had here previously. But yeah, I don't see it as a Saquon Barkley thing. I see it more as the offensive line, and also tight ends factor into that. You know, they're putting Grant Calcaterra in some positions where he's just not a great run blocker and he's getting blown up. So there just hasn't been a lot of room there. Now, I think if you pass the ball effectively and make plays downfield, I think that's going to make life easier for the run game. So it certainly is all connected.
So, you know, the Cowboys moved the ball pretty well on the Eagles. The Chiefs did not, but then the Rams did pretty well, especially the running game.
Yeah.
So I know you've moved past. I don't ever hear you mention DVOA anymore, but I'm a DVOA guy. The Eagles are 21st in DVOA. I have not, just to the eye test, the other teams have moved the ball pretty well. I know we all think Vic Fangio is great and we trust him, but do you think that, like, his ability with their personnel this year is going to limit how good this defense can actually be?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. Now, I do think he has a history of kind of the first month of the season versus the rest of the season. It can look different. It takes him a little time. That happened in Miami when he was there. That happened last year where he kind of figures out his personnel, because he's someone, he likes people to have roles. He doesn't like, hey, let's have this guy do 12 different things. It's sort of like, let's put him in position to do what he does well and he'll know his job. And I think he needs some time to figure that out. But with the injuries they have now and some of the personnel shortcomings, I don't think you're wrong. I think it may limit the ceiling a little bit. I'm not sure it's going to. You know, I want to see more, but certainly through the first 3 weeks, you say, all right, they're not quite at that level that they were last year. It's easier to run the football against them. Last week, there were more missed tackles. We know the second cornerback spot is an issue. And maybe the biggest thing right now is the pass rush. You know, they have 3 sacks through 3 games. And if you look at Vic Fangio, he's blitzing way more now this year than he did last year. And so if you just go by that, you say that looks like a defensive coordinator who doesn't necessarily trust his pass rush. And now with Nolan Smith out, I think that's going to continue to be a storyline. So yeah, the pass rush is probably my biggest concern, because I think if you can get that going, it makes life easier on everyone else, but it hasn't been a very good pass rush through 3 weeks.
Man, why didn't we trade for Micah?
Or Trey Henderson's still there, man. The Trey Henderson thing's still there. Their season's over, you know? I keep saying that. So, you know, the Bucks own us. Should we be worried about this team going into Tampa on Sunday? It seems like there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors going on with the Bucks, but, you know, they've had a win on a final drive all 3 games. Is this, you know, what are you thinking on Sunday?
Yeah, I think Sirianni is 1-4 against the Bucs, and he's won like 75% of his games against the rest of the NFL. It really is wild when you look at the numbers. Yeah, there is some smoke and mirrors. You know, they've won each game with a game-winning drive at the end with Baker Mayfield. Having said that, you can't totally ignore the history here. Now, last year, Eagles didn't have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson, but I do think Todd Bowles versus Jalen Hurts, I mean, that has been edge Todd Bowles pretty much every single time here. And so I think he knows how to kind of mess with your pass protection, create free rushers, put the quarterback under duress so that he doesn't know what he's looking at. And that's something the Eagles have yet to figure out here. So I think they're good there. They're very good against the run. You know, we were just talking about how the Eagles' run game hasn't been great. The Bucs' run defense has been awesome. Best in the NFL so far this year with their defensive tackle, Vita Vea, there in the middle. So yeah, I think they're a formidable opponent. Now they've got some injuries too. No Mike Evans. They've got 2 injuries at least on the offensive line. And so it evens out a little bit there with the injuries, but I do think they're a formidable opponent that's going to be in the playoffs, you know, by the end of the season.
So Jack, what's Shields' record predicting games so far this year for us?
He is 1-2.
Oof.
He got screwed by the Jordan Davis.
All the points count.
Yeah, Ike never doubted. Yeah.
So,
I'd have been 0-4 again if I had not have gotten that. So yeah, I needed that.
So Shield, Eagles 3.5-point road favorites. What's your pick?
Yeah, you know, I said Bowles has given Jalen Hurts a really tough time. And to your point, Spike, the Eagles' defense has been up and down through 3 games, and the Bucs' offense is pretty good. I honestly can't remember the last time I've picked against the Eagles, because the team never loses when Jalen Hurts is healthy. I was looking ahead at the schedule saying, all right, do I have a loss in the next few weeks? So I don't think they're going to go, you know, 12-0 or something. And I think this may be the most likely spot for that loss. So I can't believe I'm doing it. The team never loses, but I actually think the Bucks win this game 24-21.
Wow.
Jack didn't even have the sound effect ready because it's been so long since I picked against
Norm. I was getting ready to hit the sheep sounder if you picked them to win.
No, he did. He did. All right, Shield. Well, hopefully you're wrong again. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Shield Kapadia of The Ringer. I appreciate you as always, Shield.
All right, brother.
All right. See you guys next week. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
There he is, Shield Kapadia. I wonder if Shield knows how to improve in the bedroom.
Guys like to be stroked.
What do you think, Ike?
He's a married man, I believe.
Yes, yes, he should. And you should, at home. Look, if you've been thinking about Blue Chew, if I told you you could have a month for free, just give it a shot.
Let me get it.
Right?
Especially when I'm paying for it.
Yes, it's free. Jack's paying for it. The first month, go to bluechew.com. Use code 94 at checkout. You're going to get chewables in the mail in a discreet
hard
package. Nice.
From Blue Chew.
Classy.
And not only do you pay, or in this case, not pay, at BlueChew.com, but you don't have to go to the doctors. There's no doctor's appointments to fix your issues there. No. You do it all online at BlueChew.com. You also don't have to go to the pharmacy, wait in line next to some old lady. She looks at you. She asks you what you're waiting in line for.
And don't wink.
Yeah. You don't have to do that because it gets shipped direct to you. They make it and they ship it in the USA. And as I said, it makes your bedroom happier place.
Everyone's happier.
Everyone's happier. Go to bluechew.com, use code 94 at checkout. Your first month is free, and then you can
chew it and do it.
It's time to chew it and do it.
Can you believe the McCain thing?
Unbelievable.
I had talked myself, you know, we were going to talk, the Sixers media day is tomorrow, and then they leave for Abu Dhabi for their first two preseason games.
Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, really?
Yes. You really didn't know that?
I forgot that they're...
Yes. So I was going to mention today, you know, as we go over the show and when we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about, I was going to mention that if they are, the Sixers keep putting out these little videos and pictures of Joel Embiid playing basketball, mm-hmm. and he looks good. And if they're going to do that at media day, you have to tell us if he's going to play or not. You have to give us a true, we haven't gotten a true update all offseason. There have been opportunities for Joel Embiid to do it. There's a 25,000 word article in ESPN.com that was an interview with Joel Embiid. Nothing. Daryl Morey keeps saying they're hopeful. Nick Nurse keeps saying they're hopeful. If you're putting these videos out, getting everybody excited, I'm sorry, tomorrow, we're just going to need some honesty from everybody about what's actually going to happen. No ramp up, no I hope, yeah. None of this. But the McCain thing, it's what am I doing a podcast on the Sixers for? It's like I'm getting punished. Okay, the process was wrong. They shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. I was wrong. They should have hired a basketball guy, not some computer nerd like Hinkie. Analytics are dumb. They shouldn't have tanked. It was wrong. I'm sorry. Please fix Jared McCain now.
I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This may be a good thing. That you just released it.
Yes.
Released it.
It's done. I'm sorry.
I don't want to jump the gun.
Yeah.
But I finally admitted something this summer. And he's starting in London next week and Sunday against Pittsburgh.
Awesome.
So
maybe this is the way.
Maybe that's, you know what I mean? Maybe this is the way we kind of get it lifted.
Yes.
And hopefully Jared McCain is back by. I'm going to just say New Year's, Spike. Can we go just January? Would he be back by January?
Well,
back?
It's the same injury Utley had in 07. He missed 2 months.
Okay, so he should be back. He'll be back.
Now, shooting versus hitting, I don't know.
Well, hitting probably would have been harder injury.
I mean, depending.
Although shooting, that's.
Yeah, but I mean, it's his fingers rather than his thumb, but you still need to be able to.
Thumb is your guy, man. Yeah.
You
want to be out there getting it. Yes. Getting it hit while you're out there.
Well, and I know we all talk about Embiid and Paul George. The guy I wanted to watch this year was Jared McCain.
Yeah.
He was the guy. He had Edgecombe excited, Maxey excited.
I was
going to
say, yeah, we got Edgecombe.
I know, but McCain, he can just be the guy. He can be the guy.
He's not going to be the 15th best player in the league.
I think he can.
That's a little much.
Look, Jalen Brunson, nobody said that about Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson's now one of the 15 best players in the league. Small guard?
No, you're right. You're right about that.
You know?
You're right about that. No argument there.
More than anything, I feel bad for Jared McCain, of course.
Yeah, but I want a shooting.
I feel bad for me. Well, you know what this means.
Like, we want a shooting.
You know what this means. Eric Gordon's going to play now. Eric Gordon's going to play.
He's still on the team.
Yeah, he's still here?
Yes.
Why? He doesn't even want to be here.
They had a slant.
I thought we...
No, because he had a player option and...
Well, wasn't he the...
Well...
Yeah. Oh, the leak?
Yeah.
Of course he was.
Right,
well,
okay.
We can't have that on the damn team.
Well, he's still here.
He's still here. Seriously, I thought he was gone. I didn't know he was still here.
He's still here. By the way, Kyle Lowry, they just announced Amazon is going to be an analyst. Why is he on the team? What are we doing? If Kyle Lowry wants to be an analyst,
be
an analyst or be a coach. What do you take a roster spot for?
Oh, Udonis hasn't took one for 25 years.
That's okay. They won championships, whatever, in Miami.
Right. Udonis was. He's just over there.
Well, but Udonis Haslam was the Heat for, you know.
Right, yes.
Kyle Lowry just got here last year. He's a Raptor. He's a Rocket. He's not a Sixer.
He's a Raptor.
Well, he's
a Raptor.
No, you're right.
Getting paid $2.5 million by the Sixers to go be an analyst for Amazon Prime. What are they doing over there?
Not a bad gig.
That's not a bad gig if you're Kyle Lowry.
All right, so you released Carson. He's back.
Yep.
You released the process thing. I'll say the Phils never win the World Series ever.
That's not releasing it.
Who cares?
By the way, the Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville. I'm Matt Laurel, online at marks-jewelers.com. Are the Sixers a cursed franchise? 94.6% say yes.
Yes.
And they're all right. Mike Mayock joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike and Spike.
I'm there.
And Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.